You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, welcome to Page to Stage,
a conversation with theater makers. We're your hosts.
That's Brian.
And that's Mary.
And today we're sitting down with a very special guest.
Actually, this was the first guest that we recorded for Page to Stage, even before we recorded our welcome episode.
So please be kind.
Excuse any technical difficulties we may have.
It's like live theater.
Yeah, it was our first go at everything, but we still want to share our conversation with Matt Wierzynski. Enjoy.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
We're so happy to have you.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for coming. You know, that long trek a few blocks away.
Just a couple blocks away.
So when you graduated high school, what was your next step?
So after high school, I went to Montclair State University for 1 year. I was in the dance program there. I was a little unhappy with, you know, what I was doing. I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue performing, whatnot. So I winded up leaving Montclair, and I basically did nothing for 4 months. I was like, you know what? I really need to get back into doing what I love. And I knew I wanted to do musical theater, and I think that's where I made the wrong choice at Montclair. I should have done the musical theater program instead of the dance department. I knew I always wanted to do that, but I just was finding my way, as we say. So after that, I went into the city and I auditioned for Broadway Dance Center's professional semester program. I sent in my video, had my fingers crossed, and like a week later, I found out that I had been accepted into the fall semester of, oh boy, I think it was 2015. And I did that for 3 months, and it was a 3 month program consisting of dancing, acting, and singing. And I kind of took full advantage of everything I was given. And my main focus was musical theater dance. And I trained heavily in ballet, as I have my whole life. And I continued with acting lessons and singing lessons also. And being so close to New York City, I always loved Broadway and loved theater. And I just knew I wanted to do that since I was very young.
So fun fact, me and Matt grew up together.
Yes, we did.
So we went all the way from like kindergarten through high school, and we both went to Montclair State.
We did.
Actually, I'd like to interject. The three of us have gone to Montclair State.
I think all at the same time too, right?
When
did you start?
So I was in their master's program, their theater studies master's program.
Awesome.
And I graduated college 2014, so I started 2014, and
yeah,
I graduated from Montclair
in
2016.
Year.
Yep. So yeah, we were there at the same time.
Cool. Red Hawks.
Learning stuff every day.
Go Red Hawks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So your last credit was Anastasia on Broadway, yeah. Right? So can you talk to us about your audition process for Anastasia? In particular, I know you've been to many auditions, yeah. But that particular process, how did it start from the time that you got the appointment for the audition?
Yeah, you got it. So I actually auditioned for an ECC, which is an equity chorus call, for the Anastasia tour. So I went in for the tour that is now out and running. And I went in for it as, you know, their ensemble dancer. I didn't know that Broadway was looking for a replacement. Then I got an appointment for the Broadway production. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, I'm going in for the Broadway production. And it was like one of my first Broadway shows I, you know, had an appointment for. So I was really excited about it. This particular track was very difficult. Difficult in the sense that it was difficult to cast. That means it's a little tougher for casting to make a decision because there are many specific requirements for this one specific track that I was going in for. This track not only had to do a featured ballet track, so technique and dance had to be extremely high, but also had to be a tenor vocalist. And in the show, the tenor part is very, very high and very challenging. I was really pushing myself to obtain all of, you know, this information in the callback. So I went to my first appointment for the Broadway production, and it went great. I felt really good about it, which is pretty rare nowadays because you never know what's going on. And then went in and sang. At this point, I actually wasn't given any material from the show, so I sang from my book. So I sang 32 bars, and I sang All I Need Is the Girl from Gypsy. That's like my go-to song. So I sang that, you know, wasn't the best, but thankfully I've improved over time. So I was in there, but the music director was not in at that audition. Tom Murray wasn't there. So then they asked me to send in a video of me singing. So I did that, and I sent in. I actually was like leaving to go to Toronto for a little like mini vacation, and I sent in my video, and I didn't hear anything. And then I actually got called back in again from that video. Actually, my friend Adam McNaca, shout out to Adam, he recorded my song on the piano for me, and he recorded my song, and you know, I linked it up to a speaker, and I recorded myself, sent it in, and then I got another callback. So this one, I did everything again from the first audition, and we had to do two different dance combinations. One was a ballet combination, and the other was a jazz combination from in the show. It was called Neva Club, and it was the dance break from that number. Yeah, so I did that, and then we actually had two girls from the show come in, and we learned partnering with them. One was Lyrica Woodruff. And the other one was Kristen Smith Davis. Lyrica was our prima ballerina, and she did the big solo and pas de deux every night. So I wound up working with her, and Kristen Smith Davis was our super swing, who's now actually out on the Anastasia tour right now. Ooh. So shout out to her. So yeah, I got to work with those two. I was really nervous because, you know, I had done some ballet partnering before, but, you know, it's not my, I say, strong suit, but I did my best, learned everything I could, and I made sure that both the girls always felt comfortable in everything we were doing. So because that's the most important part when partnering, is that the other person, whoever they are, feels comfortable in everything you're doing. So we did that. And it went well. I felt great. You know, I was really like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then I found out, oh my God, I got to come back in and I have to sing again. So at this point, I'm like, oh my God.
Was it that same day?
From the show?
It was a different day. So, no. Oh. So it was, again, 16 wow. bars of whatever you have, or 32 bars of whatever you have. So I went to my vocal teacher, Ken Magos, and I was like, okay, so I'm going in for this. He worked me really hard. And we got down, you know, we got down to business, sang All I Need Is the Girl again. And this time it was in front of the musical director, Tom Murray, the stage manager, Bonnie Panson. I think Dustin Layton was there, my dance captain again, and a couple other producers were there. But I walked in and I sang my 32 bars, and for the first time in my life, I actually felt good about singing.
Oh, good.
And it went really, really well, and for the first time, I had a great response from the team, and they seemed really interested in me. And then, I say about a few days later, I was in Burger King with my friend Alex Domini, and I was ordering a Big... Oh, that's not a Big Mac. I was ordering their Whopper. I was ordering a Whopper, and then I got a 212 call, and I was like, oh my God, what is this? I always pick up a 212 call, and I was like, oh my God, it's Broadway. And little did I know, it was actually Broadway. My agent called me. I think it was on a weekend, and he was out of town, and he's like, hey, buddy. He's like, I got some bad news for you. And I was like, oh no. He's like, at this point, I was supposed to go to the Muni to do three shows there. So I was super pumped about that. And my agent called, and he was like, hey, buddy, bad news. You can't go to the Muni anymore. And at this point, I'm like, what? Why? Why? Tell me why. And I started like sweating profusely. And he's like, because, you know, you're going to make your Broadway debut. And I started screaming and I ran around Burger King. I started screaming in the Burger King, running around. And everyone was looking at me like I had chopped someone's head off. And my friend Alex looks at me and he's like, what? What? I was like, I got it. And he was like, oh my God, what the heck? And it was such a shock to me, you know, because finally, you know, after such hard work that, yeah, you know, I was going to be on Broadway. And it was like the most insane moment of my life, because in a matter of like 3 minutes, my life changed.
And so you got the offer, and then like, what's the next step?
So I got,
when did you start rehearsals?
I got the offer and I was going to start rehearsals, the next week. So just in a few days, I only had a few days, you know, to like prepare myself. I had no clue what I was preparing. Just trying to prepare myself. And then I started rehearsals in studios. We all audition in, you know, I believe I was at Pearl Studios, and, you know, I've done so many auditions there. And, you know, for once I was like getting ready to do a Broadway show. So the process is really quick. When you're a replacement in the show, like I was a temporary replacement. You only have about 2 weeks to like learn your track. Some people get 1 week if they're lucky. So I had 2 weeks to learn my track, and you know, and it's the dance captain's responsibility and the stage manager to be present and help you learn the show. And that's what I did. And then after that rehearsal, I went to the theater that night and I watched the show and I cried like 7 times, because not only is it beautiful, but you know, Christy Altomare and Max von Essen and Zach Adkins were all in it, and they're all so amazing, and you know, were amazing in the tracks, and it just was a beautiful moment that I remember. And then, you know, 2 weeks go by, and I watched the show every night, and then I actually had a put-in. So a put-in is when you get to do your show with the rest of the cast. They're all called in. Usually the leads are not called in, and the understudies get time to rehearse and go, and you know, go on for their tracks. And you're the only one in costume, so you run your show from the top to the end.
And you're the only one in costume?
Yeah. So it depends, because I'm the only one being put into the show. You know, if there's more than one person, of course, you know, we're all doing the put-in at the same time. Lucky enough, I had a put-in. Some people don't get a put-in, which is wild.
I have heard those horror stories.
So I was so thankful to have that, because I didn't know what I was doing, of course. But in reality, you know a lot more than you think. Yeah, so had the put in. You know, I ran everything from my tracking backstage to my costume changes, getting into, you know, character and all that. And I ran from the top of my show to the bottom. And then
do they run the scenes that you're not a part of for the put-in?
Usually they give you time. So the stage manager has, you know, written down everything from how long a quick change should be to how much free time you have and everything. So typically with a put-in, you want to do everything as quick as possible. My fastest quick change in the show was about 30 seconds. That was at the top of the show from when the Romanov Palace is invaded and it's, you know, the Romanovs die. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years later and we're now in It's no longer St. Petersburg. And everything's changed and everyone's poor and all this and that. And I have to get into my next outfit. So ran through all that. I was late the first time. You know, you just keep going and pushing through. And then typically they don't run through all the scenes, but they give you time to change. So if you, you know, have to change for a next scene, but you have, you know, like 7 minutes, you know, 7 minutes backstage doing nothing, they'll typically run through the scene. And then once you're done changing, then they'll just jump to your scene. So everything's quick and efficient, you know. So yeah, they do that. And then we typically skip any of the scenes that I'm not in. You know, if I'm changing again, you know, they'll run through a little scene and then that's it. After my put-in, I was able to watch the show that night, luckily. And then I made my Broadway debut on, I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was April 28th. It was a matinee. So this was 2 weeks after. I just had 2 weeks of rehearsals. I got there super early. I was so prepared, warming up vocally. I was in mic. I was like an hour early, like downstairs, just like pacing back and forth, like getting ready in costume. And then it happened. And I don't quite know.
Your Broadway debut, it happened.
It happened. And I don't quite know what happened, but sure. I knew I was prepared. But of course, the butterflies were there and the nerves were there. And yeah. It just was so amazing to be on that stage. And it was actually kind of weird because doing West Side Story, when I was touring internationally, I had played to bigger houses. Most Broadway stages aren't that big, if you think about it. So, you know, I had gotten on stage and I was like, oh, this is like actually really small. And I was like taken back by it. But I was like, I'm crying. Like, I'm literally walking on stage crying. And then, you know, I go through everything and I nail it all. You know, I hit my spots. That's the most important part, is to be out of all the other actors' way, because they have their own tracks and they do everything specifically. But they're all there to support me, and it was a wonderful company, and everyone was there, and just, you know, shoving with love if I were in the wrong spot.
So how long were you in that role for?
So I was in that role.
You said it was a vacation.
Yeah, so it was
replacement.
Vacation or temporary placement. I'll just finish this. Then when I finished the show, I took my bow. I just started crying, like in the corner by myself, and like everyone came and hugged me. Aww. And it just was a great moment.
Did you have anybody in the house that night?
My girlfriend Veronica Fioni, who also went to Montclair. She was there for my first performance, and like the only one standing up when I came out from my bow, and I just started crying. And it was such a great moment. So I did that track for 4 months, or 5 months maybe, and then. And then I thought I was done. Little did I know, I was not done. And they brought me back as a vacation swing. And a vacation swing is basically a swing who knows multiple tracks.
A bunch of new responsibilities for you.
Yes, it's a bunch of new responsibilities. And this was my first time swinging a show. But a vacation swing comes in whenever a full-time actor or actress is on vacation, if they're sick or hurt. You know, or they just need extra coverage for certain weeks. So I came back as a vacation swing to cover Kyle's track again, because we were down one person. And then I winded up staying longer because someone had left the show. So I winded up learning his track, which was one of the singer tracks. And he had some little vocal lines and, you know, little acting lines. So I had to learn that, and I actually learned that in like, I think, a day or two.
Well, good thing you were already familiar with the show.
Yes.
So
the cool thing was about, you know, doing the show for 4 months, you know, I was able to like look around and study all the other actors, you know, and see like where they are on stage. And then the cool thing about a swing is you actually get to like learn the whole puzzle of the show. So you learn multiple tracks, multiple parts, and like you kind of see the whole picture on stage because you learn and understand everyone's paths and everyone's movements. So then I actually winded up doing that singer track for a while, and I basically didn't wind up leaving Anastasia anytime soon. I kept coming back basically every week until we closed. I only had a couple weeks off here and there. And then they just needed me back. And I was just very, very lucky and very grateful that they kept calling me back. So obviously, I was doing making a good impression of myself. And, clearly they liked me and I was doing something right.
So can I ask you a question on the swing part of it? Mm-hmm. So it was helpful for you because you were actually doing one of the tracks already.
Yes.
Was that one of the tracks that you ended up being responsible for as a swing?
Yeah. So the original track I had done for 4 or 5 months, I only winded up doing a couple more times actually. But at that point I was given a lot of responsibility because I had to learn 5 more tracks.
And how long did you have to learn those?
So basically I was given just a few hours of rehearsal for that week, like 2 or 3 hours a day. And I learned 5 other tracks in like a week. And I was like, okay, so I had, I clearly wasn't given a lot of time, which is a normal thing.
Yeah.
So I wrote everything down.
Did you do the color coding?
Yeah.
A lot of people do?
Yep. So I know a lot of people use highlighters, mm-hmm. but I actually got colored pens and I thought, oh, it'd just be easier instead of highlighting all the pencil marks. And I got colored pens and I was very careful and, made each track a color so I can see it in my head.
Do you write out a dance picture?
Yeah. So what I did was I wrote down stage directions, cross this way. And then for certain pathways, I'd write out everyone's spot. So each actor's name I would put down and I knew, that which color each actor was. And I would write draw all their pathways on stage in like a little mini stage.
See, theater is just like sports. Don't they do that in football?
They do that in football.
The coach has to do that in football.
Well,
little
dancing
diagram.
Is a sport.
Yes.
Come on.
It is a sport. So that was a little difficult. And, I had never swung before, so I was a little stressed. Little did I know I'd be a lot more stressed. Because after that, I was thrown on stage.
On your first day as the swing?
Not my first day. So a few weeks had gone by, and I was on and off stage covering, the second track I had learned, one of the singer tracks. And I was doing that for a while, and then I had to go on for the three other dancer tracks. They all have different parts in the show, different responsibilities, handling this prop, handling that prop. So you don't have a lot of time to actually work with the props. So you have to really focus, be prepared, and if you have a question, you have to, ask, the actor who's responsible for that part, or ask the stage manager. Actually, I have had a couple mess ups on stage, but
we always like hearing those.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to keep going. One of my biggest mess ups was I had to move one of the carts on stage, move it from downstage right to upstage right, and I actually put it in the wrong spot, so it was on the wrong angle, and I had to throw this silk blanket to one of the other actors, and it completely fell, and it was all twisted, and I just messed up the whole thing. And at this point, I'm just laughing because
what else can you
do? You literally can't fix anything, and I wasn't given any rehearsal, so I was I did it close enough, as they say. So I did that. I made sure I had it right the next time, though, so I never messed it up after that. So I think that's the most important part, is moving on from a mistake and not letting it affect the rest of your show, but also not doing the same mistake ever again. That's a responsibility as an actor, is to do that. And then right after that, I had to go on for another dancer track, which I had not really had any rehearsal for. Granted, I had been backstage, focusing on one track a day and, reviewing it backstage, but that can only do so much for you. So then, I was looking through, videos and, studying these tracks in the morning.
Oh, do you get a copy of a recorded version of the stage?
Yes.
From a performance?
Those are a little hard to get, but I think being a swing, I was able to get a video of the stage, which really helped because I was able to see the actual spacing and how people cross and everything. So videos help a lot. So I wound up using the video a little more when I was backstage.
Do you not get a put in for swings or a vacation?
No.
Okay.
So wow. The thing was, during these, four other tracks I had, even for the second track I learned, the singer track, I never had a put in. So I just was kind of thrown on stage. So after I did my third track, then I did my fourth track, and I'm learning it all and somehow managing to like be in the right places while singing a completely different vocal line. So I not only had to do the tenor line, but I also had to learn the bass line, which was hard for me because for, 7 months, I had been singing just the tenor line. So I had a little bit difficulty staying, on that bass line, but I was really listening to the people around me and making it work. And so then I was thrown on for that third track. Then I was thrown on for the fourth track with little notice. And by little, I mean I literally had to go on that night. And I woke up in the morning and my stage manager texted me and was like, this person's out. You're on tonight. And I was like, oh boy. So then I reviewed the video and I went on and I somehow got through it. And I would be on for that for 2 days. Again, no rehearsal, no put in. I just had learned everything, all four tracks in 1 week. So I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? So I went on. I somehow managed to do it. Then the next day, I had to do it again. I felt a little more prepared, had a little couple mistakes here and there, but nothing major. I just kept doing my show. And this was a Saturday. I did my matinee. And then during my dinner break, I found out that I had to go on for that fifth track. And I was like, oh no. And I had never reviewed this track. I had, I literally had just written everything down. I think I was backstage reviewing it once and I was like, okay. So I literally was thrown on in that track and somehow managed to do it. Got through it. I don't remember anything happening.
Like, so what was so the moment that you got the call or the text or whatever it was,
the moment I got the call,
look at your notebook?
Yeah, I went and looked at my notebook, studied the video. I think I took my lunch to the theater and just reviewed for 2 hours. And did all that and went downstairs and worked through spacing. And granted, we're able to work with all the different girls because not only does each track have responsibilities, but each track partners different girls. So I have to do a lot of different lifts in the show from each track, and a lot of them are different. And each girl,
so each track is assigned another track, so you have the same partner the whole show. You don't switch females the whole time.
Well, it depends because one track can either partner one girl, one track can partner three girls within the show. So you had to be really focused, and spacing matters because anyone can get hurt on stage. So then I was in that track. So I did two tracks in one day. And that is crazy. So when you do that, you're officially a swing. Now,
well, you're so lucky that I guess lucky that you were able to actually go on stage for each one of the tracks. Because, so many people study these tracks so hard and are so prepared to go on and never end up getting to make it to the stage with that track.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, a lot of people don't get to go on stage so much or even go on stage at all.
At this point, the show had been running for over a year, Anastasia, probably about a year and a half.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half at that point. And then the next day, I actually had to go back to another track and do that. So at I think I had done four tracks that week or even five tracks that week. Wow. If I remember, I went through every single track. It was pretty wild. And I was the only swing at the time because we had, a couple people, one person left the show to do another show. Another person was in Japan working on something else. So I was the only male swing at the theater. And I couldn't.
So what happens if two males call out of the show? Do you do split tracks?
Yeah. So usually there are always two male swings at a show. There's one male swing who covers dancer tracks, and there's one male swing who covers singer tracks. you know, every show is different. So, you know, they could have one swing or just, you know, two singer swings, or, you know, every show's different. I'm sure, you know, every company has their own rules. So in a case where two people call out or even three people call out, that we have done split tracks on stage. So that is a modified show. And sometimes as a swing, you have to do extra responsibilities at that point. You know, you're not compensated for it because it's in your contract. So you just have to keep the show running. The show must go on. As an actor, it's your responsibility to do your job. And it gets quite stressful, you know, if you're doing two tracks at once, you're kind of confused. So luckily, I never had to do so much work in a split track, but I have been on stage when we've had split tracks. And usually how that works is, you know, granted we have two swings, you know, we'll throw one of the swings on stage. He'll, you know, say some lines and then he'll switch to a different character and then continue on with that track and then maybe switch back to one of the other parts and, you know, you kind of just flip-flop around stage. Not so much in Anastasia, but in a dance-heavy show, when there's a lot of partnering involved, you need to make sure someone's there for the girl or someone's there for the guy. And a lot of times you need to flip-flop partners just so that you have enough bodies on stage to do all the lifts, do all the partnering. And if there aren't enough bodies, sometimes, you know, some performers will just be cut from that scene just so, yeah, it's the, you know, the picture stays fluid and that there's just not a random body on stage just standing there. Anastasia specifically was a very symmetrical show. So if you saw the production or are able to see one of the many productions around the world, the whole show is based on symmetry, and however many people there are on stage right, usually there are that many people on stage left and vice versa.
So as an actor, you're tasked to create a character, basically.
Yes.
So as a swing, if you're covering someone else's track, are you able to personalize any of that? Or
even as a replacement, yeah. Because you're not the one that's creating the role with the creative team and the director.
Exactly.
Firsthand.
I think it's important to bring something of yourself onto stage. And I think in any role any actor does, there will always be a part of them in that character or in that track. I think as a swing, it's important for me to keep it as close as possible to the original actor because they've also been interacting with all the other actors on stage, you know, for such a long time that if I, you know, make a different choice somewhere, that it could affect them in a way. And if they haven't worked with me at all, they don't really know how to react to what I'm doing. So I say it's a kind of a balance thing. There are times in a show where you can do your own thing and personalize it yourself. But as a replacement or a swing, you should have the show as close as possible to the original set.
So that you're not messing up the other people that are exactly. In the company already.
Yes.
And not just bringing in like a tornado.
Yes, exactly.
But also preserving the whole story from
yes.
start to finish. So
that
makes sense.
Yeah, and you have to think of it as an actor, you know, the show's not really about you unless you're like the lead character, but
and your name
and, yeah,
is the name of the show.
And your name is the name of the show, exactly. But it's the director's job to create this picture and create the story, and he sees differently than how an actor sees on stage because he's able to see the entire space. And if he wants it a certain way, you should respect that. And, you know, that's your job to listen to the director because they're there to make the show as best as possible.
Did you work with the director or the primarily just the stage manager for direction purposes?
I never really got to work with Darko. I know he was in on one of my auditions, but throughout my rehearsal process and learning everything, I actually didn't get to work with him at all. You know, he was working on other shows at the time and whatnot, but for the most part, I only got to work with my dance captain and my stage managers.
Going off of being a replacement in a Broadway company, because mm-hmm. you were also a replacement in the international tour of West Side Story.
Yes.
Was replacing in a touring company versus Broadway any different for you, or did you find it like a pretty similar process?
A pretty similar process, only that when I was joining West Side Story, I was able to work with the director, Joey McNeely. I was able to work with him one-on-one for 3 days. And then I went out to, you know, the Philippines, and pretty much it's the same thing, you know. You know, you have some rehearsals for like, you know, a little bit. I mean, it's different for every contract because, you know, some people have a week of rehearsals, some people don't. I know I joined the tour a little later than I was supposed to. Luckily, they still had me come out there.
So you rehearsed in New York for the tour?
Yes, for 3 days.
3 days for West Side Story.
Yeah.
Great.
So I and then where did they fly you out to?
So then I flew out to the Philippines, and I had 3 days to work with the dance captains and the stage manager there. And then I was thrown on stage. Oh, wait, I think I had a put-in. I had a put-in, luckily. And then I was on stage that night.
And next thing you know, you're performing for Lea Salonga, right?
Yes. And then I performed for Lea Salonga. And it was wild. And I think it was like my second week on tour. And, you know, everyone is like, Lea Salonga's here. And I was like, what? So then, you know, Lea Salonga came backstage and was like, you guys are awesome. Yay. That was a cool tour because it was international. But then I also like ran into the band All Time Low. They're like an
wow,
alternative,
what a throwback.
Alternative pop band that I used to listen to. And I ran into them at the hotel and I was like, hey, are you guys All Time Low? And they were like, yeah. Like, oh, like, I was like, what are you guys doing here? They're like, oh, we're on tour here. And I was like, oh, I'm on tour here too. And they're like, oh, no way. What are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm touring with the production of West Side Story, the musical. And they're like, oh, that's so cool. I was like, yeah, I'm like a fan of you guys. I used to listen to you in high school all the time. And they're actually like, do you want to come see our show tonight? And I was like, yeah, of course. They're like, oh, cool. Like, how many tickets do you need or want? And I like, I was like, oh, you know, you can give me like 4 or 5 tickets. So they put me on a list, and it was wild. And I was around like a few people, and I was like, do you guys want to go see a rock concert? And they're all like, yeah, sure.
And that rock concert definitely prepared you.
Yes,
for West Side Story.
Exactly. So luckily, it was on our day off, and they were performing.
Is it still 8 shows a week on the tour?
Could be more or less, depending on how long you're in a city at a given time. Sometimes you do 9 shows a week. Usually it was 8. Sometimes you were only in a city for 3 or 4 days, and you know, you did however many shows those days.
For touring purposes, and I guess this can be applied to almost any gig you're doing. So how do you maintain what you're doing? Is there a process behind that, or is there like a method that you have or a practice that you do every day?
Yeah, so it's definitely integrity. You know, doing any show, you can easily lose that spark of joy in it, I think. I know a lot of people feel that. You know, sometimes you'll look at when a show first opens and be like, wow, that's incredible. And then when you go see a show again, you know, if it's running for 10 years and, you know, there's many new casts changing in and out, you look at it and you're like, oh, I remember it being better. And, you know, it's the dance captain's job to maintain the integrity of the show and keep it as it was since day one, since it first opened. But it's also the actor's job. And know that it's rare, but, you know, you could be let go at any time because you're not meeting the requirements of your contract and fulfilling the needs. So I haven't heard any stories about that, but you definitely like need to keep up your craft. If that's either taking classes every once in a while, or vocal lessons, because you can easily get out of the loop. Your technique starts going down and, you know, it's just not the same as it used to be. So it definitely takes effort and trying to maintain the level of the show. And that's up to the dance captain giving notes and also the actors being on top of their game.
How do you take classes or do vocal lessons when you're on tour?
So that's a little challenging.
Especially internationally, I imagine.
Or do you even feel like you need to keep doing vocal lessons while you're singing 8 times a week?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's being on tour is a little different. Luckily, we were given class. We had class every day.
What do you mean class? What?
So class? Built into our schedule, we took 4 ballet classes a week, and our dance captains would, you know, take us through a ballet warm up and a ballet class, and we'd do that every week. And then I think every Sunday we would do like a jazz class, and you know, get into a different style, or someone would teach something else, and then we would always have a vocal warm up. And you know, doing a show is very demanding. Even if you're just singing in a show, you know, it's vocally demanding, and you have to keep up your technique because you can easily lose it. But as a dancer, doing a show such as West Side Story is so physically demanding, because as a jet boy, you're in like 80% of the show. Like you're rarely off stage, and it's, you know, one dancing after another. And if you're not in a dance, you know, it's physicalized movement, because you're this aggressive street rat, and you know, you're just always like angry and, you know, moving around stage, running on and off, getting into fights, you know, there's intention behind everything. Like, you're not always angry, but you know what I mean? So, you know, being an actor, it's very physical, because you're embodying the character, and, you know, doing all that research is up to you, and putting it into the show and whatnot. But doing West Side Story, doing West Side Story was probably one of the most painful experiences of my life, because my body always hurt. And, you know, it was like, I don't know if my body hurts today or if this is just normal anymore, because I was in so much pain. Yeah, for sure. So it was like a new normal to like always have my knees hurting and my back hurting, you know, because there's a lot of lifting in the show and whatnot. And then on top of that, to maintain your physical strength, you have to lift weights and do all that. And so I was also like, you know, trying to go to the gym like at least 3 times a week.
On top of the 4 dance classes, on top of the 8 performances,
yes,
you know.
And on top of just experiencing all of the beautiful cities you're visiting.
Yeah, and you know, and yeah, and it was the first time out of the States, and you know, also exploring everywhere and walking everywhere, you know, walking miles a day, and you know, just it's definitely challenging. But you know, I got through it. Yeah, you know, I did it. I, you know, managed to it. And luckily, as actors, we're able to call out, and that's when the swings go on. So, you know, if at times I couldn't speak because the air pollution was so bad, and yeah, I remember wearing masks and doing all that because, you know, we were basically dying. But, you know, at certain times when we were in Shanghai, the air pollution was around like 600 parts per billion, which is kind of outrageous.
But you're having to like dance and do physical activity.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically what the air pollution means is that even if you don't smoke a cigarette, you know, no matter what you do, if you're walking outside, it's like you're smoking a pack of cigarettes a day just because you're breathing in the air. So that's how much toxins are built up in the atmosphere.
Now, did they talk to you?
Yeah.
The company, everyone going on tour, did they give you ways that you could kind of maintain or be as healthy as possible?
Yeah, so I, you know, I always, you know, took my inhalers, but we were always advised to always wear a mask wherever you go. So that's what I did. I just wore a mask. It was challenging because we all had this really bad cough in Shanghai.
Yeah.
And a lot of us were out because we just couldn't breathe. So it was really, really bad. We got through it.
We're hoping to ask all of our guests that we have on the podcast one question to end the interview. What was the last great piece of theater that you saw?
It's great. I just saw Beetlejuice. It's hysterical. I love the show. I really recommend go seeing it.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Well, I had a great time.
Yes, to speak with you about
this. You're welcome. I had a blast too.
Yeah, and thank you for being our first guest and helping us make mistakes and
yeah,
be our guinea pig.
Mistakes? What do you mean?
Oh my god!
You're perfect.
All right. Well.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Well, thanks.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Page to Stage. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Page to Stage Podcast.
And if you're enjoying these conversations, we would really appreciate it if you could take a couple minutes to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.
That's Brian.
That's Mary.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.